Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When we take the communion, God wants us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And He wants us to specifically look at the different things that happened to Him. And He gave us the communion for our healing. In fact, Paul told us that's the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early, because they don't discern the body of Christ, which means they don't look at what that sacrifice did, what happened to Jesus. So you notice this bread is made without yeast. That's significant, because Jesus' body is and was without sin, and sin is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus never made a mistake. He took that perfect, sinless body and sacrificed Him. And you notice this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that He was beaten and bruised. He was beaten for our iniquities, and He was bruised for our transgressions. Also, you'll notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. Our healing was paid for before our sins were. If you'll notice, this bread has also been pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And everywhere He shed blood, we got redemption in some area. You know, He shed blood out of His scalp. He shed blood out of His hands. He shed blood out of His feet. He shed blood out of His back. He shed blood out of His side. And everywhere He shed His blood, He paid for us to have something back. And also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. When Jesus was on that cross, He took the sins of the whole world, and He took all of our sicknesses. It's an interesting thing. The Bible tells us that He took 39 stripes on His back. That was His judgment to take. And science has identified 39 root diseases. Jesus paid for all of them. We thank You for the broken body of Jesus. We thank You for that sacrifice. And we receive our healing in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this world. In fact, I believe when the blood of Jesus hit this earth, it cracked rocks. It changed everything. It did one thing that no man could ever come up with. It washed away our sins. No longer will we ever have to rely on the blood of bulls and goats to cover our sins, because the blood of Jesus washed them away. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. It's because of that blood of Jesus that we can stand in His presence as if nothing ever happened. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Are you ready for the season of events? It's coming. Well, National Day of Prayer, we'll have Mother's Day, we'll have Father's Day, we'll have 4th of July, we'll have all. It's just like we just go from one event to the next. If you want to get active and do something, we always need help in the church. It's a good way to do service work. It's just a good thing. On the 4th of July, we have a pancake breakfast for the veterans. And Ron and Carol have done that for I don't know how many years. Forever, huh? It'll be a good time. We're going to have some fun this year. I'm thinking about putting some kits together for the communion so people can take these kits home. We're coming up to a season of real craziness. And who knows what they're going to pull out of their hat at any given time. But the best thing I can think of is to tell you to turn to Jesus and rely on the communion. Rely on the communion for your health. I hope by now you've learned to not trust anybody on TV. Especially from the government. I don't care if they have a R in front of them. They say they're Republican. Don't trust them. Trust God. Everybody else gets to prove it. Amen? Well, we just celebrated the resurrection of Christ. We celebrated, Resurrection Sunday, and we focused on that. And truly, we should be focused on the resurrection of Christ, because that's the basis of our salvation. The Bible tells us if we believe that God raised Jesus back to life, we shall be, and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Everything that we build our lives around is centered around the resurrection of Christ. Before Jesus could be raised back to life, he had to get on his cross. But did you know there was three people on that cross, on that hill? There were three men. There were three crosses and one hill. They all went to the cross. And they all three had different outcomes. They had different reasons. One man cursed God while he was on that cross. One man prayed. And one man promised. I want you to turn to Luke 23, verse 39. And we'll look at this first man. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." There's an arrogance in the body of Satan. Just as much as there's a body of Christ, there's a body of Satan. There's a group of people that are completely sold out to Satan. And there's a certain arrogance that follows them. And this man right here, even though he was facing death, still chose to curse God. He had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to turn to Christ, but he didn't. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, it tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. It's better to do that this side of eternity. Did you know that there are no unbelievers in hell? They were unbelievers when they left this earth, but they soon came to realize how wrong they were. The only problem is now is there's no chance of repentance. They're eternally locked in a world of torment. That's why it's so important to make a decision for Christ while you're on this earth. There will be no second chances. And some people have the idea that they're not going to make a decision one way or the other. Well, by not making a decision, they've made a decision. Procrastination is not a good thing when it comes to Christ. There's an urgency for every man to be born again. It must happen before they get to the end of their time on this earth. You know, the same as one man cursed on that cross, one man prayed. While we're right there in Luke, let's go down to Luke chapter 23, verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This guy realized what he had done. He realized what he needed to do. And he did the one thing, the one and only thing that he could do. He looked to Jesus. You know, he was nailed to the cross the same way Jesus was. This guy couldn't do any of the religious works that a lot of people get taught all their life that they must do. You know, this man on the cross, he went to paradise. You know something about this guy? He never read his Bible. You know something? He never got water baptized. That'll shake some people to the core. You know, he never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. You know, I had a lady call me one time, crying out of her mind. She was shook. And I said, what's wrong? She said, this pastor told me I don't get to go to heaven because I don't speak in tongues. I said, that's not true. You remember when we were sitting in jail and I talked to you? And you got born again? She said, yeah. I said, when you got born again, I qualified you for heaven. Period. You know something else about this guy on the cross? He never went to church. And he never paid tithes. Oh my God. That got him kicked out of the charismatic circle. You know, he didn't do any of the religious activities that seemed to be demanded of people in order to gain a certain statue of righteousness. But he did do the one thing that was needful for salvation. You know, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that guy right there did that. That verse is not for you, because you're born again. You already admitted you was a sinner and you called on Jesus. Now your verse is 1 John 1:7. If you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. You know, John was not talking to Christians in that chapter. I had a pastor get mad at me one time when I said that. I said, John was not talking to Christians. He was talking to Gnostics. He was witnessing to Gnostics. He told them, if you confess your sins, God will forgive you those and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then he said, before that, it said, if you walk in the light, as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continues. Did you catch that? It said, if you walk in the light, as we are in the light. So he was witnessing to somebody. This man did that. He said, I'm a sinner. One man made a promise. In Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily, with me in paradise. You know, look over to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this is part of our identification. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But you're not a whom he may, you are a whosoever. He said, the Bible right there says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The man on the cross did the one thing that he could do. He called on Jesus. And Jesus did his part. That man was saved from that very moment. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. You know, one man died condemned. One man died forgiven. And one man died innocent. There were three people on that hill. Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. It says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to witness to us about Christ. The way to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is to deny the Son of the living God as the one sacrifice that will save you. There are people that will shun the blood of Jesus. We are drawn to the blood of Jesus. We know that it's only the blood of Jesus that caused us to be saved. It's because of his blood. But when people deny Christ, there's nothing that God can do for them. God has done everything he could do to save all people. In fact, the Bible tells us that God would that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Obviously, not everybody is saved. God gave us a free will. He wants us to come to him because it's our choice. But not everybody will. There's a bad teaching and idea and thought that God sends people to hell. That's not the truth. God gave everybody an escape plan. Told them exactly how to escape hell. Told them exactly how to get out of that spot. To call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Gave them the directions. Unfortunately, if they do not get born again before they leave this earth, there's nothing God can do for that. A lot of people are wondering about all these things that God's going to say to them. I believe the one thing that he's going to say to them when they get to the great white judgment. Say, what did you do about my son? And when it comes out that they did not receive him as their Lord and Savior, their name will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we used to run around and tell people to get born again, get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we were wrong in saying that. We should tell people to get born again, but God is a God of faith. He already has your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life before you even get born again. He's believing for you to get born again. The Bible does talk about having your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way to do that is to leave this earth before you get born again. One man died forgiven. He believed, you know, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we ask God to forgive us, he will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He admitted he was a sinner, and he called on Jesus. Also, he got made a new creature in Christ. And he got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He got put into right standing with God. He did the only thing he could do. He called on Jesus. And he got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How cool was that? This guy did nothing other than call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus did everything. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus faced every single temptation that we face every day. There's not a temptation that we'll ever face that Jesus didn't face. He faced it all. But he never sinned. He was innocent. He was the only innocent man on that hill. And it was a curious thing. I found out about some punishments in that day and time. And you either got scourged or you got crucified. But nobody ever got both. Jesus got them both. And he never made a mistake. In fact, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that he died on the cross to deliver us from the curse. And he had to get scourged so we could be healed. And there's a whole bunch of other things that happened in there. But he literally took the curse of the law upon himself for us. See, because he never made a mistake and he got on the cross for us, he could set us free. See, this was something that had been set in motion even 2,000 years before that. I bet it was 2,000 years to the millisecond that Abraham marched Isaac, the son of promise, up to an altar that God told him about and put his son on that altar and tied him up and built a fire under him and was ready to sacrifice him when the angel stopped him. You know, people kind of got this idea that Isaac was just a little child. He was not. He was a full-grown man. They figure he was in his 30s. And he carried the wood up for his own sacrifice, and he was obedient to his father. He had to know. He knew something was up. He carried the wood up there. He had to know that he was going to be the sacrifice when his dad started tying him and preparing him to be sacrificed. The same way Isaac carried the wood for his sacrifice, our Lord Jesus carried the cross for his sacrifice. Jesus died innocent. He did not deserve to die. We did. We didn't do anything right. The only thing we did was call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And because of the blood of the Lamb, we've been set free. You know, something on that hill, one man died in sin. One man died to sin. And one man died for sin. You know, Romans chapter, or Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know, some people are shocked that one man would be on that cross and be cursing God. You know, he was. What else is he going to do? He's a child of Satan. He belonged to Satan. Did you know that each one of us at one point in our lives belonged to Satan? People don't like to hear that. You're either a child of God or You belong to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now works in disobedience. It shouldn't be a shock to you when people are crazy. You know, people are shocked when politicians do something stupid. It's like, that is how he is going to behave until he repents and turns to Jesus. They're going to be crazy. Some people will be more behaved than others. But there are some people that have actually sold their soul to Satan. That is possible. The Bible talks about times where people had the power to buy and sell. You know, there's people that make magnificent amounts of money in this world. Seems they have access to things that regular people don't have access to. They have the power to buy and sell. And they become billionaires. But one of the things that they had power to sell was their soul. They sold their soul for money, power, prestige. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 said, God forbid, how should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now go down to verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. The same as one man died in sin, one man died to sin. Brought out of that kingdom of darkness. Sin no longer had him. Jesus had him. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Jesus died for sin. He died to pay the price of our sins. And in fact, he overpaid. That's why we can live according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to look over our shoulder wondering if God is going to judge us for our past. We've already been judged. We've already been judged. In fact, the Bible tells us that we were in Christ. See, this is covenant talk now. When Abraham cut a covenant with God, as far as both of them were concerned, there was descendants for generation after generation after generation in Abraham's bowels. And they were all eligible for that covenant. You ever wonder why little kids seem to have this connection with God? They seem to know things sometimes. They seem to know things, and then all of a sudden they get to a certain age and it's like the lights go out. See, they're in that covenant with God until they get to this certain age where they're old enough to be accountable, where they're old enough to make a decision for Christ one way or the other. That's why we can safely say these babies go to heaven. Well, I know their mom and dad were complete rats. That's okay. God is not holding that baby responsible for the sins of his parents. That baby goes to heaven. Not old enough to be accountable. Not old enough to make a decision for Christ. We will all come to that age. Everybody has no choice, but when they come to age to make a decision for Christ, they must make a decision. You know, one man was held by death, and one man was released by death, and one man conquered death. The man that railed against God, when he left this earth, he was forever, eternally, spiritually dead. No chance of that light coming back on. But because Jesus did what he did on that cross, the other man that called on him was released by that death. It's because of his death we have life. See, the cross is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the everything. It's the everything. But because Jesus got on that cross and came back to life, he conquered death. And now we no longer have to fear death. Death is a mystery to man. You know that? That's why a lot of people are afraid of dying, because it's a mystery. We were not created to die. That was not God's intention for us. We were supposed to live forever. We were supposed to be in the garden taking care of that thing and making it spread all over the world. And Adam, God told Adam, said, do not eat of this fruit. And said, you will surely die if you do. So Adam ate of that fruit and he just killed over dead? No. It says he lived to be 800 something years old, didn't he? But he did die spiritually. We were not created to die. Now, because of Jesus, we will never die again. We just change addresses. Here's the thing. That we need to confront. There's no sting in death for us. If we wear out our body, we change addresses, and we're in the presence of Jesus. How bad could that be? That's not a bad place to be. And also, when we get to heaven, we're going to see everybody that we knew. And they're not going to be old. They're not going to be gray-headed. They're not going to be bald. They're not going to be sick. They're going to be healthy, strong, and vibrant. All those other things are just effects of the curse wearing on our bodies. There's no curse in heaven. They're going to be just as good looking as the day we met them. You know, on that hill, one man lost his life for eternity. And it wasn't God that took it. He tried every way he could to get that man to repent. God leaves the book open. But the man did not. And there was nothing more that God could do for him. You know, one man gained life. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. One man had a choice to call on Christ, and he didn't, and he lost everything. One man, even though he was a sinner, he admitted it. He admitted he did wrong, and he called on Jesus anyway, and he gained eternal life. John 11, verse 25, tells us that Jesus is the life and the resurrection. Our life is hid in Christ. When we get born again, we get brought into the body of Christ. Did you notice that we didn't get brought into the charismatic circle? We don't get brought into the Methodist circle. We don't get brought into the Baptist circle. We don't get brought into the Pentecostal circle. We get brought in to the body of Christ. One body. That's one church. All these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of denominations are just man arguing with man. It's not God's idea, but he will have his way. The Bible tells us that we will come together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine, but the unity of the faith. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And praise God that we have eternal life. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us these special opportunities that we have to share Christ with the lost and dying world. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to show us who to talk to and how to talk to them. Father, help us to be an expression of your love every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, we have a board meeting, and then we have coffee and cookies here, so come on back.